Let us pray together, shall we pray? God, our Heavenly Father, thank you for awakening us on this another day. Thank you for letting us worship you in spirit and in truth as we and other Christians everywhere come together in worship. We beseech you, O God, to send forth your Spirit that we may worship you in this hour in spirit and in truth. Amen. I will bless the Lord at all times. God's praise shall continually be in my mouth.
My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and be glad.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt God's name together.
I sought the Lord, who answered me and delivered me from all my fears.
Look to God and be radiant, so your faces shall never be ashamed.
The poor cried out, and the Lord heard, and saved him out of all their troubles.
The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear God and delivers them.
Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are those who take refuge in God.
Oh, fear the Lord, you his holy ones. For those who fear God have no want.
The young lions suffer and will hunger, but they that seek the Lord lack no good thing.
Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord.
Which of you desires life
and covets many days to enjoy good?
Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit.
Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it.
The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. The ears of the Lord hear their cry.
The face of the Lord is against evildoers, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth.
When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles.
The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit.
Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them.
The Lord keeps all their bones, not one of them is broken.
Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned.
The Lord redeems the life of his servants, and none of those who take refuge in God will be condemned.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end.
Now let us bow in prayer together, shall we pray? Gracious Lord, our Heavenly Father, we have sung your praises. We have recited together from the Psalter. We recognize and celebrate your awesome nature and your glory for letting us simply be here today, but also for calling the earth from nothingness to what we have in front of us and what others throughout this entire globe, indeed through all the universe, have in front of them. So you are powerful, and we recognize that. You are glorious. We understand that. But when we compare ourselves to you, we are indeed nothing, of no consequence. And we wonder why you would even pay attention to us. Yet you have made us human beings just a little less than you are, according to the psalmist. So we confess our inability to even strive towards your glory, your grandeur. But we certainly confess that we strive toward our own glory and grandeur. And part of who we are as humans is to be God-like, having been created in your image. But when we forget you, we mess up gloriously. And today, in our time of thanksgiving for who you are, we also remember and confess who we are. We confess that we have sinned, that we have fallen short of your glory. We confess that we have not held our tongue, and that we have not kept our lips from moving things that are not uplifting. Dear Heavenly Father, hear our humble confession. Let us recognize how we have fallen short, not just in your own eyes, but also in our eyes. Hear now our private confessions of sin as we lift them to your throne of grace silently. When we confess our sins, and when we repent from sinning, you are quick to absolve us of those sins. May we accept your forgiveness, your pardon. May we accept having our sins wiped away. But please, O Lord, we beseech you, help us not to take them back upon us. Because oftentimes we fret and we worry and we care so much about the sin that we're in the midst of or the sin that we have just confessed that we forget you have forgiven us. Help us to accept forgiveness. Hear also our prayers of intercession. Lord, you know these secrets of our hearts, for you know us better than we know ourselves. We ask your special blessings upon those areas of the world where there is so much open conflict, where things that would just simply tear us apart because we're not used to seeing it happens every day for many. And we know, O Lord, that the Prince of Peace does not reign there. We beseech you to use us, O Lord. Use us, help us find ways that we can be messengers of the peace of Christ, that we can be your servants in all those areas where there is need, where there is conflict, and where Christ is not present. All these things we pray in his name, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Feed us, for our use thy folds prepare. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us thy meal. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, has bought us thine we are. We are thine, thou must befriend us, be the guardian of our way. Keep thy flock from sin, defend us, seek us when we go. Blessed Jesus, you will hear us when we pray. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, you will hear us.
We now move in our worship to the time where we began listening in different ways for God's word. These are the times for proclamation, and we'd like for the children to come at this time for the children's address. Would you come? Hi. How are you? Good. Come on up, my man. Good to see you. Any other children? Good. Now, boys and girls, do you all wear these things yet?
No, but I'm going to.
You're going to? Very good. Do you wear glasses? No, I think that's good. I don't blame you for smiling because you don't. I've worn these for a long time. Used to, I didn't think the trees had leaves on them, but when I got glasses, I could see, my goodness, there are leaves on those trees. Yes, but I'll tell you what, boys and girls, some people don't wear glasses because they can't see. Now, that's different. Suppose all of us put our hands over our eyes and tried to walk out there. What would happen to us if we didn't have eyes? Would you fall in a hole or trip over something? I expect we would. So if you do not have eyes to see, you miss out on a great deal of life. Yes, and it could be dangerous if you didn't have eyes to see. Well, one time when Jesus was going to Jerusalem, he stopped by Jericho, and there was this man that cried out, "Have mercy on me." "Well, what do you want me to do for you?" "I want to see." And I have heard of people who haven't had sight become healed. They've had surgery, or something has happened where they could see. I never will forget, my grandfather had what's called glaucoma, and it took his sight. One day, according to my mother who was there, there was a bolt of lightning that flashed right straight through the sitting room. It went in one window and out the other and didn't hit a thing. But the light was so fiercely bright that he was able to see his daughter's faces for the first time in about 25 years. He didn't know what they looked like. He hadn't seen them. Now he could touch their face. And he did. But that's not like seeing. And he said, "That is wonderful. One day in heaven, I will have my sight back." That's what God does. He lets us see. Whether the bolt of lightning that passed through my grandfather's sitting room, or when we have a new body, or when the doctors let us have glasses for you and me, or when they do something with our eyes to correct what makes us not see, this is God's work. Always find ways to see God's work out there and to witness to it. God is fantastic. Let's have a prayer. Thank you, O Lord, for your magnificent presence on every occasion of life. Thank you for sight, for abilities to have sight corrected in whatever method possible. And thank you for sight in the next world, where we all see Jesus and where we all see each other once again. Bless us, O Lord, and give us eyes to see where you are working every day. Amen. And thank you for coming up today. You forgot your amen. Amen. Okay, we're working on it. The gospel lesson for today is found in Mark, chapter number 10, verses 46 through 52. Now, for the last several weeks, we have worked through chapters 9 and 10 of Mark. It's been in sequence, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. Next week is All Saints' Day, and we will shift away from the lectionary and use other scriptures. But this lectionary series helps us see the theology of Mark, who has all this material in front of him, some of which he may have remembered, others of which he was probably told likely by St. Peter. But he organized it in Mark so that we can see a pattern. Now, over in, I believe it's in chapter 8 of Mark, he lets a blind man see. That's bookended by today's reading, where blind Bartimaeus has sight restored. And in the middle parts of chapters 9 and 10, we find Mark showing how Jesus tried so very hard to get his disciples to see what he is here to do. Now, here is the very last part of this section of the lectionary. We'll move away from it, actually, during the month of November. So this is our conclusion with the healing of blind Bartimaeus. Hear these words. Then they came to Jericho. As he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." So, throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. Amen. And here ends this reading from God's most holy word.
Hear us when we pray. Early is
Shall we bow in prayer together? Let us pray. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, be present with us during the preaching and the hearing of this sermon. May your word be heard and understood among these words and our reflections. Amen. Let's go back all the way back to the time of Jesus. And let's go to the little town of Jericho. Jericho is on the same sea level as the Dead Sea. It is very, very low, below sea level. Now, obviously, it's on the same. There would be water around, but Dead Sea is a lot lower than Jericho, but not that much. Now, it's right next to a huge plateau, at the top of which is Jerusalem. Now, if you remember the story of the Good Samaritan, the issue was going between Jerusalem and Jericho, which is just like this. Our tour bus had lots of switchbacks, back and forth and back and forth. And the setting for the Good Samaritan story is that that was a place where people could ambush you and your entourage. Now, Jesus is making his way up to Jerusalem. He's still in Jericho, mind you, but he is, and his followers have got a long pull almost straight up the side of the plateau. Now, Jericho is famous. We know about Joshua fighting the Battle of Jericho with the trumpet sounding and the walls that came tumbling down. Terry and Wayne, I would love for you to get that piece out, Joshua Fit the Battle of Jericho. We could use that here. Y'all like to have a good toe-tapping song like that one? Could you put that on the agenda?
Sure.
Good. And John, we need your... He calls it a synthesizer, but I call it a sympathizer. It's easier to remember. But we could all do that. And you know the story about how the trumpet sounded and the walls came tumbling down. And this is the same town. When Virginia and I were there, along with Mom and Dad, way back in the early days of our married life and in the early 70s, and there was some beautiful bougainvillea there. Oh, the smell I can still sniff almost when I see bougainvillea and remember that which was at Jericho. Now, Jesus is leaving the city, and he is at the north gate of the city, and he and his entourage are making their way, starting to walk up the escarpment with so many switchbacks. Now, this is the time of the Passover, mind you. And many, many, many people are lined, watching him, hearing him. They're getting ready for the triumphal entry. So this is the setting, because these few verses are just before the great entry of Jesus, where they shout, Messiah, and son of David. A little bit more about that in a few minutes. So they're going out the north gate, heading up the escarpment, and there is this man. This man is a beggar. His name is Bartimaeus. Now, in Hebrew, if you have a prefix known as Bar, B-A-R, it means son of. So Bartimaeus simply means son of Timaeus. Timaeus is his daddy's name. This fits nicely because you know the story of Barabbas. Barabbas, of course, was a thief and a murderer. Barabbas was the person that Pilate wanted to set free or to, shall we say, punish and let Jesus be set free. But no, the crowd said, we want Barabbas, Barabbas. Well, that's that man's name, but it really isn't. When asked what his name was, he simply said, well, I'm the son of my daddy. He wasn't going to say his family name. He wasn't going to say, well, my dad is such and such, because they'd go and get him. So Abba in Aramaic, which is a derivation of Hebrew, Abba means father. Bar is your prefix, so Bar Abbas means the son of my daddy. Okay? So Bar Timaeus means the son of Timaeus, and he's blind. He used to be able to see, but perhaps some kind of eye disease took his sight from him. Was reduced to a beggar. All right, what's all that noise? I hear the tramp of feet. Who's going in front of me? He asks his friends. His friends say, Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth. Bartimaeus has an idea. I will shout and shout and shout, and maybe he'll hear me, and he'll give me my sight back. So he starts. He starts shouting, and he says, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Well, that was quite a saying. There's something here we don't understand until it's pointed out. For Jesus to be called the son of David, that is highly charged a political title. Because in that day, people were looking for a Messiah in the line of David. So if he is the son of David, then that means some folks are thinking of him as being the political and military conqueror over the Romans. Okay, he springs out this title. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And people run to him and say, be quiet, be quiet, be quiet. It's not that they don't want him to see. That's not it. It's that they want to wait till Jerusalem when he's coming into the holy city riding on a donkey. That's when they want to call him son of David. And if you look over in your Bibles to chapter 11, in the first few verses, they are shouting, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Here it is. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. They wanted to wait until they got to Jerusalem to start shouting, Jesus is coming politically, militarily, in the line of David to set up his kingdom. So be quiet. Be quiet. Bartimaeus, be quiet. We're not ready yet. But he kept shouting, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me. Finally, Jesus stops, dead in the way, on the road. He looks and says, bring him here. Then the people rush to him. This will get him to shut up. Hey, he wants to see you. Isn't that neat? He's going to see you. Bartimaeus is so excited. He gets up and he leaves his cloak on the ground. Now, folks, this is very significant. Because you understand, it's not cold. It's springtime, but it's not cold, probably almost never in Jericho. Sometimes they have snow at the Dead Sea, but not this time. What his cloak does is when people have pity on him, they'll flip him a coin and they'll land on his cloak. He'll hear it jingle, so he wants other coins there so that he can hear when somebody gives him a coin. Okay, Jesus has said, bring him to me. He gets up and he leaves that cloak on the ground. Very significant, because this is a turning point in Bartimaeus' life. He is leaving his old life and he's coming to Jesus. That's something we can chalk up for us, ourselves, to remember. To be following Jesus means a radical shift of what we usually do. Now, just kind of a pause and a parenthesis here. What he was saying in his prayer is the first known prayer to Jesus. Oftentimes, the prayers go to God. But this is the first known prayer to Jesus. And the church has picked up on this. Have mercy on me. And have turned it into what's called the Jesus Prayer. To put it another way, it's also called the Kyrie. And sometime when you want to see it in our hymnal, it's on page 482 and following. The Kyrie eleison, Christe eleison, that's Greek. For Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy. And throughout the two millennia of church history, that prayer is what people pray when they don't know how to pray. They don't know for what to pray. And how many of the times when you and I get ourselves in situations, or we know of people in situations, and we don't know what to say, don't know what to pray. Try the Kyrie. Try the Jesus Prayer. And in English, which is more helpful than the Kyrie eleison, more helpful for us, is Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy. And the early Christians used to repeat that over and over again. And it's called a chant. Chanting is part of what Christians have done for millennia. It is the chant. And in some denominations, there is still chanting going on with that and with other petitions. So keep this in mind. The first time ever recorded, I should say, that people prayed directly to Jesus, known as the Jesus Prayer. So with many people wanting to quieten him down because he's not just asking for help for his sight, he is making a political statement. So Jesus says, call him here. Take heart, be joyful, for he's calling for you. So he walks away from his cloak, leaving his money right there on top of it, and he's gone to see Jesus. Now, this is a fantastic statement of faith on this man's behalf. As I read in multiple areas of literature in preparation for the sermon, there was a passage where a pastor who later wrote a book said someone came to see him one day. It was a son and his mother, and they had been looking for places for her to be, because he could no longer look after her, physically could not. And so they tried this home, that home, the other home, this particular area of a hospital, and so on and so on. Every time she would find something the matter with it. So he brought his mother to this pastor who later wrote a book about this. And the mother took the initiative and told her pastor, says, you see, we've been looking and looking and looking, and we cannot find any place worthwhile. Guess what the real message was? Even though I'm a bad imposition on you, son, I want to stay where I'm comfortable. And if I move, it won't be comfortable for me. So I'd rather impose upon you, son, than have you look after me in ways that you can look after me. Now, that's very drastic, isn't it? But that pastor called that. And we can do something of that ourselves. How often is it that you and I had rather whine about something than do something about it? It seems to me that so much of our whole culture anymore, I don't know about Western Europe, I hadn't been there lately, but I know our culture, I don't care on what level it is, people whine. People whine about this, that, or the other. Sometimes they can make a difference, other times they can't make a difference, but whining has become a major item in our daily diet. So instead of whining, this man stopped having people have pity on him. He stopped wanting some coins. He came to Jesus. His faith was such that I'm going to make a change. I'm tired of just hearing the clink of a coin on my cloak. I'm tired of it. I want it to matter. I want my life to make a difference. I want it to matter. Now think of that. Think of that. How often it is that the energy we expend on whining about something could far more easily be used and more helpfully be used to make a difference, first of all, in how we look at life and how people around us look at life. What is needed when we whine or when we let others whine around us? What is needed is Jesus. And we haven't the faith to take it to the Lord in prayer, either to make a difference with ourselves, and oh, I can whine too, make no mistake about it, or make a difference in the people that we plague with our whining. So here we have blind Bartimaeus. He's come up to Jesus. They showed him, they took him by his arm and says, here, Jesus is right in front of you. But he didn't have to say, hi, I'm Bartimaeus. What he said, Jesus had to say. He said, what do you want me to do for you? Now this statement, my friends, is loaded to the max. Do you remember just a Sunday or so ago when James and John came up to Jesus and said to him, Master, we want you to do something for us. And he used the same words that he used with blind Bartimaeus. What do you want me to do for you? He asked James and John. Well, let us sit one on the right and the other on the left hand at your kingdom. Now here had been two of the prominent disciples. They had been following Jesus for all this length of time. They had heard Jesus' examples of why he was there on earth. Peter rebuked him and Jesus called him the Satan. And then James and John tried to get a leg up and get ahead of Peter. And they wanted on the right hand or on the left. They didn't get it. But yet, here is a person utterly dependent on his livelihood, on somebody else, because he hadn't any sight. Oh, dear friends, on how many things do you and I have blindness? We can't see it because we're all caught up in whining. This time, Bartimaeus, he gave the answer. He didn't say, I want to sit on your right hand. No, he simply said, I want my sight back. I wonder if Jesus didn't catch a glance at James and John, remembering what they had answered when they had answered him when he put that question to them. I wonder if he didn't glance over there and watch James kind of, shall we say, dig his toe in the dust. And John look off to the side to avoid Jesus' gaze. Notice the contrast. People who had followed Jesus day after day didn't get it. But here's a blind man who had faith, and he got it. And Jesus said, well, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And so there's a thought I want us to take away from us for this sermon today. What do we want Jesus to do for us today? What do we want Jesus to do for us today? How strong is our faith in Jesus Christ and his ability to do what it is that we really need, what it is we ask for? How strong is our faith? And then, thirdly, would we be willing to make some radical changes in how we approach life if Jesus answered our request? Could we do that? Because it might take that. Sometimes we get locked in a rut and we simply can't move. We're like one of the many trains that goes straight through Rockwood. Thank goodness they're on rails. They can't move like we can a car. They're on a track. We're on tracks. In order to follow Jesus, sometimes we have to jump the track and do something radically different. Are we willing to follow Jesus in order to change things around us for the better? Remember that prayer, the Jesus prayer. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. And repeat it over and over again if we don't know what we're praying for. But on the other hand, if we do, be careful. Be careful what we pray for, because we might just get it, you know? And that is our prayer today. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on all of us. Amen. We've heard the word presented. Now we have the chance to respond to the word. We respond by giving of God's tithes and our offerings. And I invite the ushers to come forward at this time. Shall we pray together? Gracious Lord, accept this money, your tithe and our offering. Use it to further the work of this church and this church's ministry and mission. Amen. Please be seated. Our lay leader could not be here today, so I wanted to share with you some of the cares and concerns and opportunities and challenges that we have as a church. So we come into the part of the worship which we would call our fellowship time, our getting to know each other, and also getting to have the opportunities for service, other than the presentation of money, of course. If you notice in the yellow insert, we have a trustees meeting, and that will be immediately following worship. Now look, the holiday bazaar was quite successful. About $2,500 before expenses to be paid. Now, one thing to look forward to. This Saturday is Trunk or Treat. There will be an event here from 5 to 7. If you have extra candy, I know some young people in the community that would most definitely appreciate your overflow. So the other announcements you see there listed, we are already moving into the end of the year time of special services. I had mentioned a couple of times the All Saints Day, which is November the 1st. I will say to you that there is a definite connection in the Christian year between All Hallows Eve, which is pushed together to be called Halloween, and All Saints Day. So you've got all the goblins coming out the night before. The saints are recognized on November the 1st. So that is your connection. And of course, we've solicited the pictures of service personnel. We'll have a special service on the 8th, two Sundays from today, recognizing those people who have worn the uniform or are now wearing the uniform of our country. We've got a picture of Brett, right? Good. Good. He's having a tough tour of duty in Hawaii, isn't he? Well, we're very fortunate he is in Hawaii and with his lovely bride, of course. Then you've got another one that's more the color of big orange. Weren't we proud of him yesterday? More big orange color. And looky, these are health kits and cleaning buckets. When the South Carolina flood came, we had a number of these stored, and whoosh went our buckets from UMCOR from previous asks or requests to fund these or actually supply them. Now we are asking congregations throughout Holston to replenish the supply that's already in South Carolina. So let's see if we can't get ourselves organized and bring these as soon as you can. Bring them by the church office, and we'll see that they get to the district office and hence on further to the United Methodist Committee on Relief. Are there other announcements that we need to be remembering? We have guests and visitors with us, but you're not really guests. You're part of our extended family. It's good to see you folks, Bill and others. Part of fellowship now is sharing and greeting. So let's stand up and greet our neighbors and say how glad we are to have them. When you hear the music, come right on back and we'll sing the final hymn.